Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Kia ora koutou. Welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. My name is David and I'm an alcoholic and chair of today's meeting, brought to you on Wellington Access Radio 106 FM. We opened each AA meeting with the Serenity Prayer, and I invite you to join in. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Now we have the AA meeting preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help each other to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help each other and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And as I said, our guests today are from the Rosny Spiritual Concepts Group. And could you all introduce each other yourselves, please?
Yeah, I'm Joel. I'm an alcoholic.
Joel. Hey, Joel.
Hi, Joel.
My name's Colin. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Colin.
Hi, Colin.
Kia ora, I'm Mary. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Mary. Yeah, if we could, I'd like to ask Mary to read today. We're going to have, because this is the Rosneath Spiritual Experiences Group, if Mary could read the spiritual experience from page 587 of the Big Book.
Hi, Mary, alcoholic. Spiritual experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realises that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspecting inner resource, which they have presently identified with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of tolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary. And just a reminder, this is the Alcoholics Anonymous Wellington meeting on air on Access Radio Wellington. And if you want to contact AA, you can phone us on 0800 229 6757. That's 0800 229 6757. Or you can go to the AA website, which is aa.org.nz. Now, we come to the sharing for the meeting today, and could I... No, we're going to start with the daily reflections, yes. And today is Saturday, the 18th of October. And Joel, could you please read today's daily reflection?
Thank you, David. I'm Joel. I'm an alcoholic. The reading for today is titled An Open Mind. True humility and an open mind can lead us to faith. And that is a quote from the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions on page 33. My alcoholic thinking led me to believe that I could control my drinking, but I couldn't. When I came to AA, I realized that God was speaking to me through my group. My mind was open just enough to know that I needed his help. A real, honest acceptance of AA took more time, but with it came humility, and I know how insane I was, and I am extremely grateful to have my sanity restored to me and to be a sober alcoholic. The new sober me is a much better person than I ever could have been without AA.
Thanks, Joel.
And now, could we please ask Colin to share?
Yeah, thank you. My name's Colin. I'm an alcoholic.
Colin.
It's good to be here. Good to be sober. It's my second time on the radio, and it's still a bit strange having a huge microphone in my face. But I'm just here to share my story with people out there that may need us, you know. So I grew up. Both my parents are both sober alcoholics, you know, and I'd like to say that I owe my life to AA in more ways than one, you know. Like, I sort of wish that if I had a worse upbringing, then I'd have an excuse for my behaviour, but my parents did everything they could for me, and I just found it like my life was super boring, you know. Like, growing up through my teenage years, I could go to my friend's house and they'd all be drinking and with the parents and stuff. And, back at home we were never doing anything like that, you know. So I spent as much time away from my house as I possibly could, you know. I was always out there searching for the party or something else to do. And, fast forward a little bit, you know, I met this girl and we had children really young, you know. I had both my kids before I was 21 years old, and there was a lot of drinking and a lot of other stuff that happened with my ex-partner, you know. And we weren't together very long, and when we broke up, you know, I was just alone again, I found peace in the bottle, you know. I found that it just, all my problems went away, you know. The first time I ever drank, I was about probably, not the first time I drank, but the first time I ever got drunk was at an after ball party for my school, and I was given a six pack of 5% bourbons, and I ended up coming home about 4 o'clock in the morning with my pants on backwards, no shoes, and I was soaking wet, and just no idea what had happened. And my drinking sort of, I didn't really step over a line, you know. There was no invisible line for me to cross, you know. I was, the first time I got drunk, I was over that line, you know. And I just loved being drunk, you know. Having my kids and being trying to be this, you know, a weekend father, you know, and I remember I'd have them on there every other weekend, and you know, I just wanted to spend time with them, you know. I wanted to be the best dad I could be, and, you know, I wanted to take my kids to Disneyland, you know. I wanted to wanted to hold their hand, walk down the road and go and get ice cream and be the best dad ever, you know. But the best I could do was just plant them in front of the TV with some on some cartoons, you know, and go and crack a drink, and there was something inside me screaming to go and spend some time with your children, you know. And I just couldn't do it, you know. I was in the grips of this disease early on, and you know, they as they got older, you know, like they're a bit older now, they you know, my daughter turned around to me once and said that she didn't want to be my daughter anymore, and it broke my heart, you know. And I remember a couple of days later or whatever, you know, I knew that drinking was the problem, and you know, I had a broken heart, and I opened a drink, and I just had a sip of it and just started crying, you know. I was crying into this can of bourbon, and by the time I'd finished that can, I felt better, you know. Like, it just took away all that pain, and yeah, just, like, I've never taken to anything like it, you know. There's nothing else that can make me feel that way, that can just instantly make me feel better. And for me, the painful parts were being sober, you know. Like, it's not, nothing was ever an issue when I was drunk, you know. It was always an issue when I was sober. Like, my behaviour just got progressively worse, and I was violent, you know, I was a bully. And, yeah, it went on for years, man. Like, it wasn't just like, you know, I didn't get drunk and throw up once and think, oh, I better stop drinking, you know. I pushed it to the edge, man, and yeah, you know, I went to my first AA meeting when I was 21, just to get out of the shit, you know. And I went to another one when I was about 25, just to get people off my back again, you know. And, you know, sat there, didn't listen, just wanted to get out of there and tick off the box that I went to a meeting and I was trying to do something about it. And, yeah, so, you know, nearly 4 years ago now, you know, on the 9th of January, if I make it there, I'll be 4 years sober. And, yeah, I just had a moment. I did 5 weeks dry before my last drunk, and, yeah, my head was just screaming, you know. Like, if I, after a few days, I feel better, you know, when I get off the piss. And then maybe a week later, I feel like I've got a bit of a stone in my shoe, you know, and then another couple of days and there's a little knot in my stomach, and then you know, come a month, my head's about to explode if I don't do something about it, you know. And it's either drink or do something else, you know. And I'd always drink, but I did 5 weeks dry, and I went out for a couple of beers after work, and just got smashed, you know. I was in a blackout within probably an hour and a half, and then drove my van back to my van from the hut to Johnsonville and parked across about three parks at the pub and went in there just rocking, man, and threw up in the heater, and I was trying to fight people out in the smoko room and just making a real dick of myself, you know. And then the bar staff drove me home and I had a big fight with my partner, and you know, I just ended up on my old man's couch again, and it's like a super uncomfortable couch, you know. It's got like all these little bits, like all the framing and shit, and I'm too tall for it now, you know. It was right when I was a kid, but my feet are hanging off the end and I'm hungover. And I drove up to see my old lady, and I just, when I parked outside, I just saw I caught myself in the mirror, and I hadn't looked myself full face in the mirror for a couple of years, you know. And I saw the reality of who I was and what I needed to do, you know. And I went to my first meeting that night in Miramar, and I don't know what happened there, you know. I don't remember what the sharing was about. I just remember it being a dark room, and you know, I was shaking and I was really scared, you know. But I when I went to leave, these two guys, one of them's in here now, and you know they just took 5 minutes out of their time to have a word with me, you know, and tell me that I was going to be all right. And I said, oh, I just need to get this back and get this. And they said, oh no, you're not gonna, we can't promise you any of that, you know, but sort of if you keep coming back, then we can help you, you know. And that's true today. And yeah, they're quite big guys, you know, so I couldn't get past them. But you know, I'll never forget that, you know, I'll never forget the people that that helped me, you know. And I had another guy that I was that was driving me around to meetings when I first got here, and I was sort of following him around like a little puppy dog, you know. And I didn't like take to this AA thing straight away, you know, and you don't really have to, you know, but the more beaten and battered I was when I got here, like I was in a really bad way when I got here, you know. And that's what I think, the worse off you are when you get here, the better chance you have. Like it had to come to an end at some point, you know. I sort of always lived my life like I'm going to come right one day, but yeah, the only way I found it is through AA, you know, through this program. You know, I've got a sponsor. I try to do as much service as I can. I get to meetings regularly, and I try to help other people. If I see someone trying to run for the door, you know, I can take 5 minutes out of my day to try and reach out and help them as well. You know, I get to, my life's great today, you know, like not like I came in, got sober and everything was perfect, you know, it's not always butterflies and rainbows, but like inside I'm okay with who I am today, you know. I don't have to, if you don't like me, then, well, that's your problem, you know. I don't have to put on this front like I'm, you know, I could always wear whatever mask I had to wear in whatever situation to try and fit in, you know, and I never really fit in anywhere, but I fit in here. And, yeah, you know, it's not like being uncomfortable isn't life-threatening for me. Yeah, I mean, like I've had some amazing stuff happen in my time in sobriety, you know. Like I came in here, I was drowning in debt, you know, I was ruining every relationship that I ever really had, and I've put those relationships back together the best I can, you know. I've bought a house in sobriety, I'm following my dreams, trying to be the best man I can today, you know, the best me I can. And yeah. I'm so grateful for this program, for my God, and for the fellows around me, you know, that keep me afloat when I feel like I'm drowning. But, yeah, I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Thank you, Colin. Thanks, Colin.
Thank you, Colin. And just a reminder again, this is the Alcoholics Anonymous Wellington meeting on air on Wellington Access Radio 106 FM. And if you'd like to contact AA, we have a 24-hour-a-day 0800 number where people can talk to you. It's 0800-229-6757. That's 0800-229-6757. If you want to have a look at the AA website, it has an enormous amount of information there. Everything you could ever want to know about AA and helping with alcoholism and finding meetings to go to anywhere in the country, and in Wellington, of course. And their website is aa.org.nz. Now, if we could please ask Mary to share.
Sure, thanks, David. I'm Mary, I'm an alcoholic.
Hello, Mary.
Hey, Mary.
excuse me. The first thing that got me in the room, I had tried for a couple of years being aware that I had a problem with alcohol, and I had tried many things to stop, and went to the doctor, told them all about it, went to counselling, psychiatrist, everything, and they were all just like talking about controlled drinking and trying to to just slow down, or just, you know, none of the advice worked for me. So I was trying to work out, you know, a solution that I could, that could help me. And I was looking at going to rehab, and then my partner at the time suggested to just try an AA meeting. And so I did. And I walked into the room on a Saturday morning at Plimpton, and I couldn't understand all of, you know, why they were all so happy, and the happiness in the eyes of the people in there. They had something, being sober and happy, in that, and I could just see it on their faces, and that's what I wanted, and so I kept going. I forgot to mention, but the key was my son. About, you know, a few days before I went to that meeting, he said he needed to move out because he couldn't live at home with me the way that I was. And he was in his final year of college, and it was about halfway through, and he decided to move in with his father, who lived a lot further away from college. We just live around the corner, and his dad lived, you know, a train and a bus ride away. So for him to think that that was a better option was pretty sad. But I didn't fight him, because I knew that he was right. And that's, so that desperation was in me as well, that I needed to do something about this, and it had to be now. So I, at that first meeting, I heard people talking, and it was my story, even though it was, you know, slightly different circumstances. I heard the same things, and the same feelings, and the same mistakes, and I heard them talking about this solution, and I knew that there was something there, and so I just wanted to keep learning. And there was a shift in me at that time, and from that day I haven't craved a drink. I haven't had that urge to get in the car and go and get something, which is a miracle for me. I know everyone has different experiences, but that's been a real gift and a miracle for me. My drinking started really early. When I was a baby, toddler, I suppose. I know I was in nappies anyway. The story goes, I went around and finished all the drinks, and while Mum and Dad were outside and saying goodbye to the guests, and they came in, and I was whacking my head against the fireplace. But from that day, every time there was alcohol, I was always asking for a sip, and I always got a sip, or found out a way to get it. So I was always sipping away. But I was in an environment growing up where alcohol was everywhere, and it was all the time. And I could see how it affected people, and how some people got really drunk and made stupid decisions. So I could see that as a young child. And I kind of, yeah, it made an impression on me to try and not get to that point. But, you know, so I tried really hard. So when I was a teenager and started drinking, I knew, you know, I could see that, and I started making stupid decisions and going, oh, that was the alcohol, I better not do that. And so then, I kind of kept crossing that line and crossing over and back and not knowing how to control it. So when I got to my 20s, I started to isolate drink. So I would be out, be fine, have fun, but then I'd be home really early and have the drinks at home, so I couldn't do anything stupid. And that's how I drank for many years. Went through quite an abusive marriage, and then when that split up, the drinking was great to just push it all to the back of my head, to just numb everything and not deal with it. And that was my coping, and it's not healthy, but it's how I did. And you know, then all the different relationships that I had and you know, whether it was, you know, with my children, my friends and all of that, they were all affected because all I was thinking of was when is my next drink going to happen? When can I get out of this situation? When can the kids go to bed? When can I actually get my time to sit and just zone out the rest of the world and go into that place where it feels safe for me, where nothing's, my mind isn't racing. So now when I finally came into the program and started to get sober, it was quite hard because I had to deal with all the shit that I never dealt with. Sorry for swearing. That I never dealt with throughout my whole life. And so I have a lot to process, but what I found was a gift of the program is teaching me how to do all of these things. It talks about God on the wall and, you know, in all of the steps. And for me, that wasn't a problem, but my understanding of God was in a process of change at that time anyway. So I was trying to separate, because this is not a religious program, it's a spiritual program. But I was also grappling with my understanding of what God was and what my faith was. But that, so I had to learn how to separate the two things out and understand that both of them are a work in progress, and that's okay. And my sponsor is just such a gift to me to listen to my drama and then make me pause and reflect back to me what's going on and how can we break it down and deal with all these little things, and taking me through all of the steps and understand you know, what that means to me in my life and how I can live my life today and make really good choices to do the next right thing. So when I came into the program, both of my children hated me. They were teenagers, and we weren't at the point where they weren't talking to me, which I'm surprised about. But what's happened is I've been able to start to rebuild that relationship with them, and now we can hang out and have fun and laugh, and they come to me for advice, which I never thought I would be able to earn that respect back again, which that is the major gift of the program. Another thing that I've had I was surprised about. I used to have a lot of anxiety, and you know, I was scared something might happen at night. Like, I was always on edge, and you know, any noise that happened at night, I never slept a night through at all my entire life. Like, my parents used to tell me it was always a problem. But then, even when I was a child, when I was 10, I still wasn't sleeping through the night. Then I do now, and that's the gift of the program, because I can hand my day and my everything over to God, and my anxiety is just so low now. And people tell me I look different, I seem different, and I know that I am. I'm in a calm, good place in my life, and I'm doing the next right thing. I make mistakes, but I know how to move forward from them and how to say sorry, and I actually care when I do hurt someone's feelings. It's not like, oh, it's their problem if they think that. It's actually important for me to, you know, if I have done something, I can fix that and you know, do the next right thing all the time. So I'm just really grateful for where I'm at today. I am still have so much to learn about the program, but that's something awesome that I know that every day I can go to a meeting, I can find people who understand me and I can understand them, and I'm grateful that that's something that can continue for the rest of my life. And all I know is that for today, I won't pick up a drink and I'm going to be the best me that I can be. So yeah, that's me for today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Mary. And this is the Wellington Access Radio Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. It's the guests this morning are from the Roseneath Spiritual Concepts group, which meets on Sundays at 8 p.m.
A.M.
Excuse me for getting that out by 12 hours. So get up early tomorrow to go along to Roseneath. And just a reminder too that you can contact AA on our 0800 number at any time, 7 days a week, 0800 229 6757, and the website is aa.org.nz. And now could I we ask Joel to share, please.
Thank you, David. My name's Joel. I'm an alcoholic.
Joel. Hi, Joel.
Just set my timer, which is good. It's nice to be here this morning, and what a great meeting. And I was thinking when I was listening to the previous speakers, it's like listening to the radio, being in a radio studio here, and it gives me an hour to pause, listen, and reflect, so that I get out of the busy humdrum of life, which is pretty much my head. And I think that's the importance of recovery, is that I give myself that space to stand back, recalibrate, assess, and move on until my next meeting. I've heard so much in this meeting, you know, identical stories of mine. And there's a black and white photograph from 1972 of me standing with my head held back, and I'm holding a glass and, drinking the dregs of whatever was in the glass at that time. And even rolling on through my childhood, I remember being 6 years of age, seven, I don't know, young kid, post-party the morning after, and looking for the glasses and holding them up. And you'd watch that bead of sherry just slide down the glass and then bang, hit your tongue. And it was like a hot coal being blown on, you know. And that was alcoholism budding, you know, until I was 14. And, it all took off, man, took off. I drank for 10 years. And it was a real rocky 10 years. I don't want to take up my 10 minutes describing how that went. But when I was 24 years of age, I finally came back to AA for the third time. Post 6 months, 6 months of sobriety and treatment for 5 weeks, and a 6 month relapse. And looking back, the past 24 hours of my last drinking lapse is clear in my memory, and I don't want to repeat it on air because it was a horrific, shameful incident. But there were pockets or hot spots in that time that I look back on, and I can see that I needed to go through that to be where I am today, to attain a sobriety that I cherish today. And the last drink I had was on my friend's front doorstep after coming out of hospital on April the 9th, I think, 1994. And he said, "Oh my God, you look really bad. Stay there." So I stood out there with the sun beating on my back, a beautiful clear day, and he came back out with a whiskey. And he said, "You need this." So I held it to my hand and I picked the drink up and rested the glass on my lips, and then I put it down. There was something inside that said, this is finished. The game is over. This is not the answer. It's not the solution. The reading from the Daily Reflection talked about an open mind, and that was the beginning of an open mind for me. And I think anybody who has sustained a moment of sustained sobriety in AA is because it started off with an open mind. Like it said in the reading also that Mary read out, you know, they're only defeated by an attitude of defiance or belligerent denial. And it was the open mind that started me. I thought, this is not working. I've got to refocus. And that took days, weeks, months, and years, I think. And it's still ever growing. that open mind. I need to have an open mind. But as soon as I start closing off, I get in danger, and that's why I need to keep coming to meetings. And I enjoy meetings. It's not a grind or a grudge. I enjoy my sobriety. That's my 10 minutes. I've got the buzz on my watch. Okay. No, that's a reminder to walk another 180 steps. I've got 5 minutes to go. Six. So, yeah, I probably won't use all of that up. But, so this is the important thing for me is hindsight is a wonderful thing. Just looking back on my early days of sobriety and thinking, yes, there was a higher power in my life. There had to be. I had to be, had to have been led by something. And it was because of my open mind that I was able to grow some teeth and hang on in there. So, yeah, that's all I'd like to share, really. That's my lot. Thank you, David.
Thanks, Joel. Now we have time left, which means I'm going to have to share. This is, I make a reminder to myself not to put a thing in my watch telling me it's 5 minutes to something, because I'm in the habit of doing that too. Kia ora koutou, I'm David, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm your host for this meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous Wellington on air on Wellington Access Radio 106.FM. When I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I really had to stop drinking because the doctors, a whole group of them, came to me, six or seven. It was almost like a dream at 6:30 in the morning, all telling me that if I had any more to drink, next glass would be my last. Know, which is quite a very much a wake up call at 6:30 a.m. in the morning, because my GP had become so alarmed at the deterioration that alcohol was causing to me that she booked me into Wellington Hospital, and that's how I ended up there with the all these doctors there at 6:30 in the morning. Fortunately. Because of where Wellington Hospital was, the Salvation Army bridge offices were across the road, and there's AA meeting there on Saturday mornings, which I wanted to cross the road to when I was able to walk properly again, and found myself in this room of, I think it was about 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning, of all these people who, you know, were sober at this time of the day, and it was, you know, 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, it was nothing for me to have, you know, had several by then. My Saturdays would begin by going to the local New World when it opened at 7 a.m. to get the day's supply, which for a Saturday was, you know, some phenomenal amount of alcohol, almost too embarrassed these days to say it. But Saturday was two or three bottles of wine and a four-pack of 500ml bottles of beer. And this is how I spent, you know, Saturdays. And so to find all these people at 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning not drinking and talking about why they weren't drinking, and when they were speaking, I, you know, recognised myself there. I thought, my God, you know, there were people who, you know, did some of, you know, my tricks. They would hide their bottles so that the people in the house didn't see what they were drinking. And, you know, I used to have bottles in the back of a jacket by the front door, under the basin in the bathroom, in the bedroom cupboard, in the kitchen cupboards. They were just all over the place. And other people did this. This was quite extraordinary. I thought, you know, I'm not alone here, and they, you know, many other things like that. You know, like if my GP, for example, would ask me, you know, have you been drinking lately? I would always tell her, well, no, I haven't had any for weeks. And she told me, you know, much later, she didn't believe a word I was saying. I mean, you know, this just wasn't true. But I realised that there were other people who had the same problems, or, you know, and but they'd found one way to actually to you know, get over the to overcome those problems, and that I found the same myself at the, you know, AA meetings, the first one that I had been to on the Saturday morning, and with lots of people there talking about how they had stopped drinking, and, you know, some of them hadn't drunk for weeks, others for years, and I've met people who hadn't drunk for 30 years, and you know, I've discussed this with them. Why are you still coming to the meetings? And everybody says that you just keep coming back to the meetings because that's how you stop drinking. You keep on stopping drinking. The whole philosophy which I get up with every day is, you know, I'm not going to promise never to drink again in my life, but I don't have to drink today. And already on the Saturday morning, it's 10:55 a.m. And, you know, I've got no intention of drinking today. And that's, you know, one of the many philosophies of AA that I followed. Coming back to the meetings, I think that if I, all right, I haven't drunk now for several years. I've got quite a good count up, actually. And I feel really, really good about it. But I've seen people who had stopped coming to AA meetings because they thought they were going fine now. And then they have friends who say, oh, I'll just have one, it won't hurt. And these people say that eventually they have one because why would it hurt? They haven't drunk anything for years. But no, they all unanimously say that they were back where they were and the last time they stopped drinking and desperately needing to get back into AA. So I keep coming to the meetings knowing that I'm probably not going to drink, especially the day that I go to an AA meeting because I'd be too ashamed to. So, you know, that's the message that I really take out for AA meetings. You know, go to the meetings. There's lots of people there who share their experiences, how they stopped drinking and how they stayed sober. And you don't have to drink today. And as they say at the end, keep coming back. It works if you work at it. Now, this has been the AA meeting on air on Wellington Access Radio 106 FM. And you can contact AA at our 24-hour-a-day 0800 number, 0800-229-6757. And the website is aa.org.nz. And today we have the Rosenuth Group, the Spiritual Concepts, who've been the guests here today. And the Spiritual Concepts finish their meeting with a selection of a reading from page 55 of the big book, The We Agnostics. And could I ask Colin to read that section, please. Thank you, Colin.
Actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. We finally found that faith in some kind of God was part of our makeup, just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. He was as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found.
Thanks, Colin. And we're rapidly getting to the close of this meeting on AA on the air. We traditionally close our meetings with the Serenity Prayer. We've got about 42 seconds to say that, which is more than enough time, so I'll just again repeat that this is the AA meeting on air on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, and we're on every 4 weeks at 10:15 a.m., so in 4 weeks' time there'll be another program. If we could close this meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
And keep coming back. It works if you work.
program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.